Welcome to Career and Leadership Real Talk, the no-nonsense guide for ambitious managers who want to have more impact and progress their career. I'm Pamela Langan, a job search coach and expert CV writer specializing in helping frustrated professionals land the jobs and pay rises they know they deserve.
And I'm Jackie Jagger, a leadership and mindset coach specializing in helping newly promoted and new-to-role leaders to avoid the dickhead trap and lead with confidence. Between us, we've helped hundreds of leaders and managers to find new roles, take ownership of their careers, and handle the challenges that job searches and leadership responsibility inevitably bring. And now we're joining forces to share with you what we know has worked for our clients.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode. Today, we are sharing 5 ways that you can demonstrate strategic thinking. And the reason we've decided to do this is because we know that lots of our clients and lots of our listeners will be told that they need to be more strategic or they need to think more strategic within their roles. So what we wanted to do is give you 5 ways that you can demonstrate that. And if this is something that you know you need to work on, then this is going to be brilliant for you. And if this is something that you're thinking, I already know how to do it, I just need to demonstrate it a lot more in the workplace, then this is definitely for you too. So Jackie, get us started on this, because we know this comes up a lot, doesn't it? And we get a lot of messages about this and we speak to lots of clients about this. So where do we start?
So I think the first place to start is this happens a lot. So first of all, don't worry if you are told that you need to be more strategic. It is feedback that pretty much every senior leader will have had at some point in their career. And it often comes up at the time where you are making that step from manager level up to a leader level role. And people are terrible at being able to give you hints or tips or specifics around what does be more strategic actually mean. So we're going to define what we mean by it, and we're going to talk about when you need to demonstrate it versus when you need to develop it. We'll share those tips on how to demonstrate the ability you already have, because for most people, once they hear the definitions and distinctions, they recognize that they probably have more of that capability than they might be demonstrating.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it, with strategic thinking or being more strategic, when you get that feedback, often you don't really know what to do with that feedback, do you? It's the person delivering that feedback obviously knows, but if you're not sure and you've not been able to ask them or unpack it with them, then if they're giving you that feedback, then it's good for you to start thinking, okay, what do I need to do? Okay, so some of the definitions then relating to strategic thinking, where would we start with the definitions?
So I define these as strategic thinking is the first part of the process. You've got strategic thinking and strategic planning, and those are the things that happen before you take action that guide and direct what action you might take. So strategic is about being able to achieve the goals that you want to achieve with the resources that are available to you. And the thinking piece is considering different options, ideas, potential solutions, and being able to weigh those up. And then the plan is about taking that thinking and almost building a bridge between that and the action taking. So it's putting that together cohesively. And the planning is not something that you do once and that's it. Strategic planning is something that gets refined. So for me, strategic often means longer range. It often means considering different perspectives. The classic example is big picture thinking is strategic. But again, that's not really specific enough to be able to do much with it. At its core, it's about being able to consider, how do I get the results that I need with the resources that are available to me? And how do I consider different alternatives and different ways to go about it that I might then want to put into my plan?
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to break it down there, because there is that real kind of fear around, I feel, around being strategic, because what do I need to do? How much detail do I need to go into? And actually, is it about the detail or is it more about the bigger picture thinking? But if you're not sure where to go with it, you can get yourself tied up in so many knots around what it is and it isn't. So I think that is brilliant that you've broken it down there, and you can see the difference in the thinking and the planning aspects around that. Okay, then. So in terms of developing strategic thinking or demonstrating strategic thinking, obviously there's a difference there as well, isn't there? Depending on where you're up to in your career. So what is the difference?
This is a great question for people to ask themselves, because before you can demonstrate it, before you can get other people to perceive you as being more strategic, you need to know whether or not it's simply a case of showing the capability you already have, or whether it's actually something that you need to develop. So there are some questions that you can ask yourself to think, is this an area that I need to develop in? So do you find it easy to link short-term actions to long-term goals? Do you tend to naturally see longer range, bigger opportunities? Do you tend to foresee obstacles and have contingency plans that are associated with those? Or do you tend to be quite in the here and now and the day to day and all of that operational firefighting? Do you naturally weigh up risks? Do you naturally see patterns in data? Do you naturally have that ability to take a calculated risk and accept that things may not always work out? Or do you find that quite difficult? And if you're listening to that and recognizing that you need to develop your strategic ability, that's totally fine. We've got another episode that we can link to in the show notes that will have some hints with that. The thing that we're talking about here is more where you're listening to those questions and thinking, well, yeah, I can do that. I know I can do that. But other people are still telling me that I need to be more strategic. That's the time where you're looking at, how are people perceiving you and how do you shape that perception by demonstrating more of that capability that you already have?
Yeah, and I think that's the key, isn't it? So I suppose if we look at the five ways that we can demonstrate, or our listeners can demonstrate, that they're strategic thinkers, what would be number one for you?
Number one is one that we have talked about numerous times in different episodes on the podcast. This is block off strategic thinking time and protect it, ruthlessly protect it. Because a big part of why you may not come across as having the strategic capacity that you know you have is because people see more of that operational, the day-to-day. They see you as a troubleshooter. They see you as a fixer who can handle whatever's thrown at them, but they're not seeing you perhaps bring some of that bigger thinking into the conversations that you have. So you cannot expect that you will have these amazing strategic thoughts at the same time as you are doing the firefighting. You've got to create that time and that capacity for yourself. And this comes, again, what we've talked about before, to what environment do you do your best thinking is often very different to the environment where you do your best doing. So you will often do better thinking in a quieter environment, in a more creative environment, away from the day-to-day role, than you will either in an office or working from home with 17 tabs on your browser and a Teams meeting that you've got to get to in 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the things that I found within my own career that really helped me blocking off that strategy time, but also doing it at a time where I knew I could really dedicate some thought to that time as well. Because if I plan that in, for example, on a Monday morning, when everything's go, there's absolutely no chance that I'm going to get anything done. People are going to be coming to my desk. People are going to be knocking on the office door. You know, there's going to be a whole range of things going on. So what I used to do is block off the whole of Friday afternoon. And that was my strategic thinking time, because I knew Friday afternoons were quieter. I knew that I could then go for lunch and then ease into that time, so that I wasn't just kind of going from one task straight into that, because I knew that didn't work for me. That wouldn't help me to think or to come up with ideas and things like that. So I would get everything out of the way on Friday morning, go for lunch, and then go into that strategic thinking time, which was really useful. And I would get lots and lots of stuff done during that time, lots of thinking, loads of ideas, get it all documented. And then I was able to then run with it the following week or put it into whatever plan it needed to go into. And I think that worked really well for me. And that's what I also advise my clients to do, to pick the time that is going to work best for them, rather than just shoehorning it into your calendar. It's like really thinking about energy levels and times when you know it will be quieter in the office, or you can take yourself off and you won't have loads of people looking for you because it's a real busy time. It's just thinking about that as well, and almost being strategic around that strategic thinking time.
It really is. I think another thing that really helped me was to prepare for that time by almost creating myself a thinking agenda. I would put things that I needed to give some deeper thought to, I would put that almost as an agenda for myself. Because otherwise, I think it can be quite weird. I used to do it where I would work from home just on a day a week, a day a fortnight, a long time before hybrid was a thing. And I used to find that if I just worked from home without having a specific agenda or things, problems that I wanted to solve or things that I wanted to give thought to, then I fell back into the habits of answering emails, taking phone calls, doing all of those other things. But when I came through the week and thought, oh, I need to give some proper thought to that, if I wrote those things into that agenda for myself, then when I came to the day, I might have 3, 4, 5 things that I wanted to be able to think about or ponder or research. And that then gave me the structure for how to use the time when I had it. I think that's really important, because otherwise, if you just work in a different environment and haven't prepared and don't have those problems that you want to solve or projects that you want to kick off or things that you want to do some thinking about, then the risk is that you've just changed your environment, but you haven't changed your actual routine.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And one of the things that I also did was had a section in my planner where I would write down those things, because sometimes they come in and they can go straight back out your brain and you'll forget about them. And having that almost that list or that agenda on what you're going to cover in that section of the week. And I used to, when things used to come to me, I used to think, is this a Friday task? Is this my strategy time task? And then I would add it to the list. And then when that time comes around, it is so much easier to have something to work through. And I actually still do that now, and it works really well in my business too. So what is number two then? What is the second thing that people can think about?
Number two is being the person to zoom out. And what I mean by that is, when you're in a meeting, the number of times that a discussion can be very bogged down in tactics, in what are we going to do this week or what comes next, or pros and cons that can become about personal opinion. If you are the person to zoom out, what that means is you remind people to connect the here and now with the longer term vision. So it might be talking about, what's this in aid of? What problem are we trying to solve? So that I can give my perspective on which I think, how they weigh up. Remind me, what problem are we trying to solve here? If we zoom out and look at the objectives that we've got as a function or as a department or as a business, how does this fit into that? So you become the person that reminds other people not to get blinkers and short-range vision, and you become the person that completely reminds other people of this longer time frame, of the bigger picture, of the goals and objectives that these day-to-day resources are being directed towards.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, as you said, zoom out, I was thinking zone out, especially depending on the meeting that you're in. But that's a podcast for another day. But in terms of zooming out, I do think that is something that really makes you stand out as well within those meetings as somebody who is strategic, somebody that's not going to get mixed up in all of that lower level tactical stuff, because that's not what the focus is. And I think when you're in a meeting with somebody that has the ability to really zoom out and go, what are we actually focusing on? What is the purpose of what we're trying to achieve? It really does stand out. And I think that also links in with personal branding as well, because if you can be the person that can really zoom out and show that you are that strategic thinker, then I think that ties in really nicely with your personal brand and how you're coming across as the senior leader or as a leader who is trying to progress within that organization.
It adds so much value. It really does, because it is so easy for people to get caught up in the day-to-day. If you're in marketing and people are debating, should you be on Facebook or should you be on TikTok? The point is, who knows? Because what goal is it we're trying to achieve? What problem are we trying to solve? What is this campaign in aid of? You need that longer range. You need that bigger picture to know the answer to some of these things. So it can add value, and it can also ease frustration, because your temptation, if you keep that strategic thought inside your head, you might know this is the reason why, but you just get caught up in that discussion or debate about pros and cons of one approach versus another. If you're that person that zooms out, what you do is get other people directed back to the reason why you have the stance that you do and why you're proposing the solutions that you're proposing. So it helps to add value to the business, and it helps to bring people back to the understanding of why what you're proposing makes sense in that context.
Yeah, there's so much behind that, isn't there? There's so much in almost developing that as a skill for yourself. It's something that you do need to practice, because it is easy to get sucked in, isn't it? We've all been in those meetings and you get sucked in, and next minute time's up or the meeting's gone over or people are getting frustrated within that meeting. And I think it's a real skill that you can start to develop. I don't think it's something that just can come naturally. So maybe it can to some people, but I do think it's something that you need to really start thinking, I am going to do this, and start using it and start practicing it to make it feel more natural as an approach for yourself.
Yeah, definitely becomes more natural the more you do it.
Okay, so number three then, what is the third tip?
I love this one. This hit hard for me when I first heard it, and it's be fixed on your goals and flexible on your approach. And so often we get this ass about face, and we get really tied into doing the things in the order. We've got a plan. We're going to do this and do this. And people get fixed on the methods and on the approach and lose sight. So it really follows on from what we were just talking about. But the point with strategy and with strategic planning, like I said earlier, it's not that it's something that you do it once and that's it. Things will change. New information will come to light. A plan can only be as good as it can be at the point that you create it with the information that's available and known to you at that time. And if you are someone who is continually learning, continually developing, continually taking on board feedback and new data, of course, over time, some of that will create the situation where that plan needs to change. So it's about that constant reminder that the goal and the outcome is the bit that is fixed, but you have to be adaptive. You have to be willing to flex and to shift and to adopt that willingness to shift in the context of based on what we know now, this is the best way to get from here to there.
Yeah, and I think that's key, isn't it? And I absolutely love that, that you're fixed on the goal, but flexible on the approach, because we all get tied up, don't we, in that detail. And it's good to have that as almost a motto, isn't it? We're fixed on the goal, but we're flexible on the approach. We need to achieve this specific thing, and it doesn't matter how we do it, but we're going to achieve it. And I think once you take that pressure off, it makes it so much easier to be able to move forward as a team, as a department, to achieve things. So number four then. So number four is getting into to more of the risks and the opportunities, isn't it? So what is the fourth thing that people can do?
So this is really considering and bringing into other people's view the risks and opportunities that are associated with the external environment. So you need to be aware of what might happen if, of different scenarios, of different things that could happen. And some of those are more predictable and some of them less so. And when you are the person who is aware of that and aware of more of the external environment, then you can bring that into your communication and your approach, and you can talk about opportunities that might come up because of external changes, because of legislation change that might be coming up, because of things like AI is a great example of this. If you're the person that's aware of the progress of AI and then talking about how can we as a business or how can we as a function mitigate the risk associated with widespread adoption of AI and how can we create opportunity for ourselves with it, then you're getting ahead as opposed to scrambling to react once that situation has shown itself so much in your face that you can't avoid it anymore. So again, it's bringing your awareness of what's going on and bringing that to other people's attention and posing some of that thought around risks and opportunities that really highlights bigger picture over here. Something's going to be changing. Does that give us opportunity to do more with the resources we've got? Does it give us an opportunity to achieve a better result or achieve a result more quickly or more easily? Or does it present a risk or an obstacle that we need a contingency plan for?
Yeah, and I think that's also a really key part, isn't it, of being strategic and developing that strategic ability. Okay then, so number five, this is going to be the key one, isn't it? We've looked at all of the things that you can do, but number five, what is the final thing that people can do to be more strategic?
It's the final one for our list, because as ever, our lists are picked from many things we could have included. But for two coaches, it's not surprising that number five is ask more powerful questions. And the reason that we've included this is that it really ties together a lot of those earlier ones. So it really think about the questions you ask of yourself and the way that you ask questions of yourself. Think about the questions that you pose within meetings, within interactions with others. And you don't need to be the talker to be demonstrating your strategic thinking ability. You don't need to have the answers. I think sometimes people feel that demonstrating their strategic thought means they have to have come up with this strategic plan. And here you go, aren't I brilliant? Now I've demonstrated it. But actually, in asking some simple but powerful questions, you provoke discussion, you provoke debate, you encourage other people to stay fixed on the goals and stay flexible on the approach. So it's a different way, and again, eases pressure on you to be the one with all the answers, because just by asking some of those questions, you're automatically showing that you're considering things or wondering what might happen if, in a way that someone that doesn't have that strategic thinking ability doesn't necessarily do.
Yeah, and I think that again, it's another key part of it, isn't it? Because you will be noticed as somebody who is more strategic just by the questions that you ask and how you conduct yourself in those meetings. And I think it's something that people do worry about as well, because when you're in those meetings and when you're the senior leader, or you are a leader generally, or I think even in some cases where you are trying to be promoted to those leadership roles, you want to be seen as somebody who is knowledgeable, somebody that does have all the answers. And I think when I look at my own like leadership approach and other people that I've worked for who I've thought are great leaders, it's more about being open, isn't it? And it's more about asking those questions, the right questions, to get the right answers and need to have all of the answers yourself. But you need to be able to ask the questions that get those thoughts moving in the right direction, that bring the ideas to the table. And I think if you can do that and you can get into the habit of doing that and not feeling bad if you don't have all the answers, but just staying curious. And I think the key, one of the keys to being a great leader is to be curious, is to ask those questions. And I think that links in really nicely with being a great leader who also can think strategically.
It really does. It's not about being the brightest in the room. It's about facilitating other people's brilliance. That's the point. And you don't have to have all the answers. I learned loads about strategic thinking from a boss of mine who was an entrepreneur, who had started her own business, grown it really successfully. And some of the questions that she used to ask, I still ask now of myself, of clients, because they were really helpful for unlocking a different way of thinking. And one of the things that she always did was she had this innate assumption, there must be a way to solve a problem. There always is. There must be a way. So what is it? That for me was incredibly powerful. And I remember once with a particular problem, her saying, okay, if you don't know what the answer is, what would need to happen to make this possible? So when people felt that it wasn't possible, she just shifted that question to say, what would need to change to make it possible? And straight away, it was, oh, if there was this, if there was more budget, if there was this. So all of a sudden, it wasn't impossible. It's just that you realize what limitations you'd put on your own thinking when you'd assumed that it wasn't. Yeah, it really is incredibly powerful to ask yourself some of those questions and to shift in the way that you're thinking. But the biggest shift is not having to be the one with all the answers.
I think for people listening, that thought of, I don't need to have all the answers, for some will be like, this is exactly what I needed to hear. And for others, there might be that fear factor where they're thinking, I do need to know all the answers. I do need to be seen as somebody who is knowledgeable. And that's fine. But I think you also can start to think about being more strategic and bringing other people almost into the conversation, bringing other people into the room. And like you say, using their brilliance to really drive the business forward. I think that's probably the key thing, isn't it, out of all of this? It's not just creating a bottleneck with yourself. It's about looking at what everyone else can bring to the table. It's probably a good point to mention as well, that if your leaders need support with developing or demonstrating strategic thinking or ability, then get in touch with us, because this is definitely something that we can help with. We run workshops on this topic, and we also work with individuals as well. So we can work with your teams, or we can work with your individual leaders. So if this is something that you think, this could really help my team or somebody in my team, then drop us a message and then we can give you all of the information around how we can help. And as usual, if you've enjoyed this episode, please do share it with anyone else that you think might also find it useful or enjoyable. And don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcast platforms. And we'll be back next week with another episode.